Today's scripture is found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 14. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But whoever stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Christiane?
Yes, as Steve said, not a warm, fuzzy passage. And to be honest with you, if Randy hadn't specifically asked me to preach on this passage, I may have avoided it. but I actually now, coming to the end and actually having my sermon completed, I'm glad. It was good for me to wrestle with this passage and to search for the application for us. Passages like this one can be challenging. It's our natural human tendency to zone in on the predictions about what's going to happen in the future and try to guess when those events are going to play out and how they're going to play out. Some preachers and teachers even try to nail down names and dates. And I wonder if we do that because it gives us a sense of security or control. The future is so completely out of our hands. But if we can say we know how those events are going to play out and when, we feel just a little bit more in control. But that misses the point of what Jesus' conversation with his disciples is all about. What he is communicating is less about predictions and more about managing expectations and responses to what the future holds. Expectations can be tricky things. I remember signing up for a retreat that was going to be all about Sabbath, how to take a Sabbath, how to make the most of that time to set aside to rest and refresh. And I was surprised and disappointed when I saw the schedule for the retreat and like every second was planned out from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. And I was like, what? This is supposed to be about rest. That does not feel restful to me. It felt like busyness, and it was not at all what I was expecting. How many times are we disappointed like that when we imagine something in our heads and we think it's going to go a certain way, yet reality plays out so differently, and we're surprised and we're frustrated, we're sad, angry, maybe hurt. Our expectations were not met. When my expectations are realistic, on the other hand, or when I can hold them loosely, realizing that expectations and reality sometimes don't match each other, I can be more patient and gracious and flexible in the face of disappointment. Well, in our passage this morning, we can hear Jesus attempting to manage the disciples' expectations. This glorious temple that you're in awe of, it's not going to last forever. There are going to be false prophets out there. There's going to be violence and famine and disaster. There's going to be persecution. and some will turn away from the faith. It's as if he's saying to them, be prepared for bad news. My messiahship is not going to look like what you're expecting. He's managing their expectations. Now, the disciples press him for more specifics. They want dates, they want details. Jesus doesn't give them what they want. This is a frustrating but intentional aspect of our relationship with God, oftentimes. God doesn't give us all the information we want, but he does always give us what we need. Those of us who are parents can perhaps identify with this situation. Maybe you can remember the stage, or maybe you're in the middle of that stage right now, when your children are not satisfied with the answers you give them. They're constantly pressing you for more. But mommy, why? Daddy, how? What about this? What do you mean? We know our children won't be able to understand the complexities or handle all of the information we have as adults, so we're trying to give them just what they need to be able to, you know, say yes and move on. But all they know is that we're not giving them the whole story, and they want it. There are few things as persistent as a three-year-old who wants to know why boiling water bubbles, or how a butterfly can come from a caterpillar's chrysalis, except maybe a disciple who wants to know the day, the year, and the hour of the end of the age. Jesus doesn't give them that. But he does give them what they need. And what they need is guidance. He manages their expectations. Look, you guys, a bunch of things are going to happen all around you and among you. A lot of it's going to be bad and scary. But here is what I want you to do. And he gives them four things to do in the midst of the stormy future that's coming and as they wait for the end. Four things to do in the meantime. So Ben, if you could put up the first slide. Four things to do in the meantime. The first one, don't be deceived. Leaders and teachers are going to appear and they're going to claim to be the one to follow, the one to listen to, the one with special prophetic knowledge about the future. And Jesus warns them, don't be taken in by it. Even today, this is a temptation, isn't it? There are preachers on the radio and in podcasts and on television that would have us believe they have the inside track to information about what is going to happen and when the end is coming and who is especially anointed by God and who is not. And in the chaos of information overload, Jesus cautions his disciples and he cautions us not to be taken in by leaders who seem to have it all figured out. Remember, even Jesus doesn't know the day or the hour of his return. He tells us that in the Gospels. He doesn't know. So when we're tempted to cling to our human leaders, to put them up on pedestals and treasure their special word of knowledge, may we remember Jesus. May we carefully discern what we are hearing from them and ask ourselves, does this line up with Jesus Christ? Does what I'm hearing encourage the fruit of the Spirit? How does it sound when I hold it up alongside the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount? What does Jesus have to say about this? Three times in this passage, Jesus warns his followers about being deceived, and careful discernment prevents deception. The second piece of guidance Jesus offers in the meantime is to not be alarmed and to stand firm. Threats of violence, wars, natural disasters, persecution, betrayal, and hatred, all of this like a frightful storm swirling around us, and Jesus says, see to it that you aren't alarmed. All who stand firm will be saved. That's it? Really? It feels like the world is falling apart, and any sense of security we might have had about our American life, it feels like it might evaporate at any second. And all Jesus is saying is to don't be alarmed. Just stand firm. I'd like more reassurance than that. To be honest, I'd like more control over my life than that. I want safety and security for my family and my friends. I want good things to happen for us. But Jesus is pretty clear. We aren't guaranteed good things. We aren't guaranteed safety or security. What we are guaranteed is his presence and the promise that things will be right and good in the end. Have you heard this popular quote, "Everything will be okay, and if it's not okay, that means it's not the end yet"? It's not a quote from scripture, but it's one that's helpful to me when I'm feeling especially anxious about world events or national news or what's happening in my own life. I can be at peace, I can be not alarmed, when I remember who's writing this story and that he has told me how it all ends. I just don't know when that will be. We can stand firm on the promises of God because we know God is faithful. I can let go of my expectations of comfort and ease because Jesus has managed my expectations about that. He's made it clear that I'm not promised security and safety and comfort. He shows us how to live in the meantime. What did Jesus do when his life was falling apart? He wept with his father. He prayed with his friends. He took up his cross, and he stood firm to the end. And Jesus is right here with us always. And so we can do the same. So don't be deceived. Don't be alarmed. Stand firm. And then the third thing. Some of the saddest things that Jesus says in our passage today is that many will turn away from the faith and will betray each other and hate each other, and that the love of many will grow cold. We can understand this as Jesus once again managing expectations, as if to say, don't be surprised when this happens. But we can also take his words as an encouragement or as a warning to not let this become us. So our third piece of guidance this morning, in the meantime, is to keep the faith with God and with one another. Though circumstances around us may indicate the opposite, nations rising up against nations, earthquakes and famine and persecution, God is still God. And God is still good. God's kingdom is still coming, and Jesus is still with us, and the Holy Spirit is still working in us and through us and beyond us. If we take the long view, we can keep the faith. And we can encourage one another to keep the faith too, instead of descending into division and hatred and betrayal. Though the world is dividing into factions and fighting one another on religious fronts, economic fronts, military fronts, that's not what we are to be about. When we keep the faith with each other, we'll honor each other and give grace to each other. We'll encourage each other and build one another up. We'll carry our own loads, as Randy often reminds us, and bear one another's burdens as well. We will speak honestly to each other and kindly. As we keep the faith with God and with each other, our love will not grow cold. It will burn bright enough and warm enough to warm each other and anyone nearby and light the way in a dark world. That's who we want to be, amen? The focus of Jesus' ministry was always the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom. We, like the disciples, can get caught up in what's happening with all these earthly kingdoms, right? The United States, Russia, Japan, China, Canada, the UK. For the disciples, it was Rome and their hopes for Israel. But our kingdoms come and go. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, they all rose to power and then fell. And we have seen superpowers come and go in our lifetimes as well. This is the way with human history. But God's kingdom is forever. So Jesus' fourth piece of guidance for us in the meantime is to focus on the good news of the kingdom. He says that as we keep faith, as we keep ourselves from being deceived, as we stay calm and stand firm, and as we keep the faith, the good news of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world. Our testimony, in the meantime, can be world-changing. The ripple effects of our small lives, impacting our neighbors, impacting missionaries who impact their neighbors, in the midst of a chaotic and suffering world, it pushes the good news forward and out to the ends of the earth. The good news that we are forgiven and free, that we are healed and reconciled, that justice will be done, that outcasts are beloved and children are precious, that criminals are sons and daughters of God, that the used and abused, the invisible and forgotten are honored, that God's forever kingdom is a kingdom of love. That is good world-changing news. And nothing can stop it. Not even a world in total upheaval and chaos. Let me say that again. Nothing can stop it. Not even a world in total upheaval and chaos. That's where Jesus focused his attention and his ministry. And we are called to do the same. When the news coming at us from all directions is focused on the politics and the power grabs and the military action and the movement of wealth, we can choose to focus on the good news and invest in eternity. When the media tempts us into believing that what matters most is our nation, we can remember where our true citizenship lies and hold our nationality more lightly. How are we called to live through the storms and the chaos until Jesus returns? Do not be deceived. Be discerning. Do not be alarmed. Stand firm. Keep the faith with God and with each other. Focus on the good news of God's kingdom above all else. And looking through the lens of the resurrection, holding on to that hope, will help us do these things. A funny thing struck me the more I studied this passage this week. These things that Jesus says about discernment and calm endurance and loving God and each other and spreading the good news, isn't that exactly what we hear from Jesus all the time throughout the Gospels? Even when he's not talking about the end of the age and his second coming, doesn't this sound like the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes? So we're supposed to live in just the same way as he has always called us to live in the meantime. No matter what craziness is going on out there all around us, we remain centered on the values of Jesus. No matter which issue the talking heads say we should be passionate about, we remain centered on the words of Jesus. No matter what the stock market is doing or what Hollywood is up to, even in the face of our own personal challenges and struggles, we keep looking through the lens of the resurrection and we practice calm steadfastness. We practice discernment. We practice love. And we practice focusing on the good news of God's eternal kingdom. A favorite movie of mine is The Mission. It was made in 1986. Has anyone else seen The Mission? Yeah, Mark? I'm not surprised. It tells the story of a Jesuit mission in South America in the mid-18th century. Father Gabriel is the priest of the mission to the Guarani tribe. It's very hard for me to say that word. Guarani tribe. He is joined by a man named Rodrigo Mendoza. Rodrigo was a slave trader and a murderer who repented, and he longed to do penance for his crimes. Father Gabriel welcomed him in and allowed him to work among the Guarani at the mission. Rodrigo is profoundly changed by the forgiveness and the mercy of the natives there and of his friend, Father Gabriel. So much so that he takes the Jesuit vows and becomes a priest himself. Those vows included renouncing violence and following Jesus' teachings about loving his enemies. Now, the Spanish and the Portuguese are in conflict over this land where the mission is in South America. And eventually, an agreement is reached that the Spanish will turn the land over to the Portuguese, and the Portuguese plan to demolish the mission and enslave the natives. Father Gabriel and Rodrigo are deeply upset by this news, as are the Guarani. But they disagree how to respond to the coming crisis. Rodrigo wants to denounce his vows that he took and lead the natives in battle to protect their land and their way of life. Father Gabriel believes that they should continue to live as they always have, in faith and in peace, following the teachings of Jesus. He tells Rodrigo, "You promised your life to God, and God is love. If might is right, love has no place in the world." What follows is a heartbreaking battle that, of course, the Guarani lose. They're no match for the Portuguese military. Both Father Gabriel and Rodrigo are killed, along with many of the villagers. But what strikes me is that as Father Gabriel dies, leading the people in worship, you see peace in his eyes. In contrast, when Rodrigo is gunned down, you see in his eyes emptiness and regret and sadness. He allowed the chaos and the violence happening around him to dictate his response. There was violence out there, and so he responded with violence. If he could have focused on the hope of the resurrection, if he could have taken Jesus' words to heart, if he could have remained at peace no matter what was happening around him, he would have died in faith. Nations will rise against nations. Land will change hands and will be conquered and reconquered, but we remain in Jesus. We remain people of the eternal kingdom that is not of this world. We remain steadfast in hope, in love, in peace, not deceived by the clamoring powers of this world, but with a clear focus on eternity and the good news of God's kingdom. We know that in the end, it will be okay. All will be well. And if it's not okay, it's not the end yet. So may we live in the meantime, in the same way that we've lived all along, in the way of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.